So today, as promised, I'm going to explain some different perspective of what's happening in a few different territories over here in Asia. Territories, countries, whatever. I'm lumping Hong Kong and Vietnam into the same bunch. See, I was discussing this with a friend last night. This song that I've written, I still need to perfect it and get the piano arrangement out for it and decide if I want to sing it in country or choir or a la Steven Tyler. The basic theme in Taiwan, as my good friend explained to me late last week, is that everyone in Taiwan is trying to make it. They're trying to survive. See, in America, people are chasing a dream. In Taiwan, people are trying to survive this Chiang Kai-shek monster. He came here and just started oppressing people. You know, if your children spoke the Taiwanese native language at school, your parents would get a heavy fine. He wanted everyone to speak Mandarin. Really, really, really cruel. Slaughter, massacred people. I mean, Chiang Kai-shek was your typical Chinese dictator. And he was the nationalist guy, and then running from the communists and stuff. So that was a government came in, put all of his idiot friends in charge of everything. So you have these uneducated people that were foot soldiers, now are the teachers in the schools because they're his friends. It was pure cronyism, and all the educated people weren't allowed to teach. So everyone has to learn from these idiots. Well, that didn't help society much. So we just oppressed everything because now all the smart people have to do things the stupid way and nobody listens and people actually believe that they were authorities because they were teachers, not because they knew what they were talking about. So that embedded itself into the culture and there are elements of it still around today. And you've got this lots of dominating and ignorance and stuff like that running around. It has absolutely crushed the society. And so from that, it's hard to function. And so everyone's just trying to survive this thick cloud. It's like being in the field of poppies. Remember Wizard of Oz and the Wicked Witch put poppies all over the field and made them all sleep or something? You know, it's like there's this heaviness that makes you just want to lie down and sleep and give up. And everyone in Taiwan is that they're getting help from their friends. Sometimes it's with money. Other times it's with skill or know-how. Everyone's trying to just survive this thing that Chiang Kai-shek set up. And which is pure Chinese oppressive domination, can't apologize, Confucian, dogma to family, dogma to teachers culture. So I think it's called Xiaoshun. I think it starts with family and applies to teachers, but I'm not going to parse all that. So that's kind of the situation. Everyone in Taiwan is trying to make it. Everyone. And so if you're a foreigner, you come to Taiwan, you're gonna be part of it. People are going to come to you to try to survive. They'll be happy and friendly and look on the bright side. But you're going to have to look to other people to try to survive and just sort of make it through the chaos, through the oppressive chaos. It's oppression by chaos, which interestingly was a Chinese communist tactic. Although not as heavily enforced here for a number of reasons, but one of them being that Taiwan is just smaller. They have less power to oppress so much through chaos. All right, well, that's Taiwan. Now, Vietnam. Vietnam is a totally different situation. In Vietnam, it was explained to me, one of the locals there, Satin, he's Christian, explained it to me. In Vietnam, everyone's waiting to get lucky. They sell lottery tickets on the street constantly. You get a lot of street vendors, shoe shine boys. I've been there with my Canvas All-Stars. You know the Converse All-Stars, right? Well, they're made out of canvas. It's the fabric. They're not suede leather. They're not plastic. It's the normal, typical canvas material. And I'm wearing my All-Stars. And someone comes up to me and wants to do a shoe shine on my All-Stars. I'm like, shoe shines for wingtip shoes, man. What? And I didn't even say anything, but he wanted it. I'm like, like, do you guys know how this works? You know, we're not in the 1920s anymore where people want to be super impressive with their shoes being shined everywhere they go. We impress people now with our cell phones or something like that. You know, or so it just... So anyhow, I mean, okay, I mean, I wish the best of luck to people, but the reason that the shoe shine boys, he's got a shoe shine kit, the reason they'll walk up to someone with all stars and ask to shine the shoes is because they're hoping to get lucky. He doesn't really want to shine the shoes. He's hoping that I'm going to see some talent in him and do some Horatio Alger rags to riches special job offer, and he's going to get lucky and get an opportunity because I see his effort. That's what he really wants over there in Vietnam. And so we've also got street vendors selling lottery tickets, like genuine, normal lottery, you know. Well, in Taiwan, every receipt is a lottery ticket. You don't have to pay for it. There's a receipt lottery. There are other lotteries in Taiwan also, but because the government couldn't get businesses to hand out receipts. So what they did was it's a law, you got to have a receipt, but every receipt is a lottery ticket. So people will demand their receipt from the business because that's a lottery ticket. So, and if the business doesn't give the receipt, well, they'll go report under the police and that's a crime. So they're, you know, sticks and carrots. It was kind of an interesting thing that they did to enforce the law in Taiwan. I've actually got, I've had a few winning receipt lottery tickets in the past, but I don't know. I don't follow that. But in Vietnam, they've got genuine lottery tickets. They go out and they sell them to people. And it's kind of like a drug business almost. It's like if you become a lottery ticket salesman, you've got a quota you've got to get, or else your higher up is going to be mad. And he's going to crack down on you if you don't go sell enough lottery tickets. Well, it isn't too difficult, because a lot of people want to buy lottery tickets in Vietnam because everyone in Vietnam is hoping to get lucky. Everyone's trying to get lucky. This local guy explained to me. Everybody, because look on the streets. This vendor here, those guys over there selling baskets. This guy here running around selling bread on his bicycle. Everyone, all the people with their new businesses. People are going to school. They're hoping to get lucky and land a job. Everyone's trying to get lucky. They're just convinced that their good fortune is right around the corner, and they're going to get lucky, and all of a sudden, whoop, go right to the top. That's what everybody's hoping. Of course, when someone wins a lottery ticket, it makes things worse than before, but that's a whole other story. There's a little bit of maybe I'll get lucky in every culture, but in Vietnam, it's all over the place. Taiwan, it's not trying to get lucky. It's all of us sticking in and holding in there together. Now, you go to Hong Kong. Oh, Hong Kong is all about paving your own way. It's about working your way forward. That's what Hong Kong's all about. Now, they get international cooperation. But see, when the Hong Kongers thought that they were going to get some type of special landed external help from America, it's not because those Hong Kongers thought that America was going to come in and do all the work for them. It was their networking and their cooperative, their international networking, knowing other people, and I know them and I do my job and he does his job and we work together. It was that type of a thing that the Hong Kongers were hoping for, because they're an international community and they've got people all over the world that they know from everywhere. So they were just counting on their friends Americans to be able to come in and help, but it wasn't trying to get lucky and it wasn't depending on them. It was more of a networking prospecting thing. Now that the Hong Kongers, you know, Trump gave the normal deceptive BS to China. Oh, looks like Hong Kong protests are great. Well, the Hong Kongers and the Chinese misinterpreted that. And so maybe the Hong Kongers a little bit more, but the Hong Kongers feel marginalized and pushed off on their own, but they'll make it. They'll be fine. Because it goes back to it. You know, Hong Kongers have a strong work ethic. They've been, ever since the gentrification began, we're talking 97, they opened up and just Chinese started pouring into this free place because they're trying to get away from China. Nobody wants to live in China. The prosperity of Hong Kong is a testament to the failure of China. The reason all those Chinese want to go into Hong Kong in the first place is because they're trying to get out of China. That's where all the money comes from. That's where all the people come from. God, you got to know that right away. You got to know that. So what happened was the real estate prices went through the roof, and they just kept bringing in more Chinese. Now, the Chinese government sees it as them trying to, you know, dilute the Hong Kong population. They're trying to put mainland, brainwash mainlanders in there as part of Sinicization. It's a Sinicization tactic. Another thing, too, it's going to be interesting. With all these protests, all the non-loyalists, all the wimpy guys are running away. You know, it's kind of like Gideon. Everyone who's scared, go home. So a lot of people are running out of Hong Kong. They're fleeing. They're making plans. They're getting out. It's really interesting to see how that's happening. Trump and his trade war with China. All the smart American companies and Western companies, they're getting out of China. They're pulling out. They're going, I don't want this. So Trump gives a little bit of a problem. Companies pull out. It's expand and contract and expand and contract. It's threatened and then have nice stuff and then threatened and have nice stuff. People are pulling out. So the smart people are getting out of China, and the non-loyalists, the people that weren't real about it, they're pulling out of Hong Kong. And so actually, you know, a lot of the unrealistic prices are falling in Hong Kong, which is actually kind of a good thing in a way. All right. Okay. So I digress. But the Hong Kongers are hard working. They've got this strong work ethic, and they're going to pave their way forward. So, you know, that's kind of the idea that I wanted to share in this. In Taiwan, it's a we got to stick together culture. And in Vietnam, it's a, oh, I'm going to get lucky culture. And in Hong Kong, it's a work your own way. You got to work for your own way forward type of culture. And so I really think, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot that could be said about that. You know, what it means if you go to Vietnam, what it means if you go to Taiwan, and what's going to happen in Hong Kong. There's just a lot from that. I do think that work your way forward culture is going to help the Hong Kongers, even though Trump's not going to send in the Americans to save everyone's day and to do all the fighting while you just sit there and eat your microwave dinner. But Trump's not going to do that. He's going to let the Hong Kongers win their own victory. And it feels like rejection, and there's going to be some hurt feelings. I know, I've been there. I'm in Taiwan, where everyone's got to make it together after all. But, you know, it's like you're complaining about problems. Everyone's got problems. Like, we're all trying to solve this, man, together. You know, don't complain about the problems everyone else is trying to survive as well. And so I think, you know, the Hong Kongers have friends, but they're going to have to make their own way, and they're going to go through a learning crisis. But they've got the hard work ethic to be able to pull it off. It's going to be interesting to see how things develop. I don't know. You know, you got Taiwan. Well, I mean, what would happen if China started really, really picking on Taiwan? Or Vietnam? What do these dynamics do to different things? Stuff to think about. See you next week.